So what is it? What's the drive? Is it just your DNA? It's just what you have?
I just love life.
All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
Welcome to our world. I'm Adam.
Yep, I'm Jess.
And with us tonight is the great Angela Kittner.
We are so excited to have you
here. Hi, you guys. I'm excited to be here.
This is fantastic.
Since we started the show, Jess and I had kind of like a wish list or like a, I don't know what you call it.
Who the heck would think about getting on the
right.
show
Who list? Who can we bamboozle into getting, coming to my house and being on a podcast? And short list, but.
She got conned.
We were super pumped.
Fell for it, didn't I?
Yeah.
You fell did. For it.
This is actually, we have a timeshare that we'd like to talk to you about.
And that's funny.
The prerequisite is being on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
So, Angela, thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. I'm excited. I love your new studio.
I know.
You're the first guest in the brand new.
I know. You did it all for me.
Inside studio.
We did.
Love
this
it.
Is, pretty great. This is pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but I assure you, it's fantastic.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's inside, so that's...
That's a plus.
Yeah.
It's a benefit. All right, Jess, I will allow you the honors
of
introducing Angela to our crowd.
Angela, who the hell do you think you are?
That's an interesting question for sure, because you could go in so many different
directions.
Areas.
Yeah.
A daughter, a mother, a sister, a wife, a good friend. Yeah.
Mentor, business owner.
Yeah, you do a little business.
Just a little bit. Just dabbling.
Yeah. It. I like that.
Yeah, I love real estate. Love being in it, and I love being around people like you guys.
Yeah.
So it's a thrill every day. You guys know that. Every single day is different.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, this is like, it's the thrill of the chase.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So can you describe what you do for work and kind of what got you where you are now?
What I just like what my day looks like?
Just like what
is your
vocation?
You?
For people that don't live, you know, in St. Louis Hills and have never heard your name. What do you do? And
we do have three listeners from New Jersey who
excellent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we do.
Be very interested in knowing who you are.
Sure. So I got into real estate because, I'll be honest, I wanted to make a ton of money. And I was tired of working for someone else. So I have a corporate background with Campbell Soup, Walmart, and British Petroleum. And I was tired of making money for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I really work my ass off. Like, I need to be benefiting from this.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I, at the time, were flipping homes. And I thought, you know what? I think I could do this for the public. And that's how it all happened.
That's awesome.
What were you doing in corporate America prior? What was, like, your department or your role?
Sure. It was calling on, like, headquarter buyers. I represented Pepperidge Farm. For like Schnuck, Steerberg, Shop and Save,
okay.
Those kinds of things. So I was calling on headquarter buyers.
Okay.
Yeah, sales.
So mm-hmm. You own and operate your own team. Can
yes.
you tell us a little bit about who that is, what the size of that is? Like, give us a scale,
sure.
an idea of scale.
Sure, sure. Yes, initially it was just myself, and then I brought my sister on as my EA, executive assistant.
Who I adore.
Yeah. You guys have kind of a thing.
We do have a thing.
Shh. Don't tell Sarah. But you guys are like, I think in love.
We might be.
We might be.
She is one of my favorite people to travel with and to just see in general.
She's just funny as hell.
She's a blast.
I mean, not as funny as me.
Close.
But she's funny.
Close second.
We do argue about that a lot.
Okay.
mm-hmm. No, she's funnier.
She's funny.
So yeah, so, and it's kind of a family affair, right? Because I got my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Lowy.
Low ass.
God love her.
Mm-hmm. She, what, without her, we would be screwed.
So what just is completely. Lois's position?
Lois thinks she's the CEO.
Okay.
However, she's really the runner.
Okay. And the runner. I love that mentality change.
She is the runner and runs her buns. Like, that's usually what younger, like, kiddos do.
And it's hilarious because she's going to be 79 this year.
That's awesome.
And she's been working for me for 10 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And I tell her all the time, Lois, I don't care if you got one eye. You get out there and work.
And you're working for me, by the way.
And it's funny because we joke. We're like, yep, you're working first, second, and third shift. Like, whatever we need, whenever we need it.
If it's bring me pasta salad,
she doesn't.
Mom, I want it.
It doesn't matter what it is. She'll do it.
That's awesome. That.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, honestly, what's allowed me to be as successful as I am, because most realtors are having to do all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so, and then I got my husband, who's now involved in the team. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I don't. What does he do?
Buyer's agent?
Showing specialist, David Brosso. I'm training him. He is technically the president of the Kittner Group.
Okay.
So in a sense, I've allowed him to come in, and because he's dealing with Gary Keller on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, they text little emojis to each other.
Okay.
It's really amazing to be sitting on the couch and he
Gare
and Gary
Bear
are, yeah, Gare Bear, they're texting.
Thumbs up.
Little hearts.
Stop it.
Nope. It's true. And, and I'm like, Jesus, David, you're over there texting with a billionaire.
Yeah, the
and we're watching
real estate.
You know, old
right.
school or whatever.
Hold
he
on,
likes.
That's David's
that
favorite
was on
movie.
His favorite, I was gonna say
that's David's favorite
list.
Movie.
I know.
Yeah, you
I
remember
was on the Adderall once.
And so it's I step back and sort of in awe of how far he's come since I've met him. And so, I said, you know what? Like, I want you to come in, and because you're having these high-level conversations, I want you to bring that.
Yeah, you can influence
the
team at a crazy level.
So he's working with Linda one-on-one and Amy one-on-one.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So it's very cool.
That is super cool.
So, and then, of course, my sister-in-law's in the office, too.
Yes.
Which, so, I mean, it really is a family affair.
Yeah.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And your daughter is in the office.
How could I forget?
I mean,
right?
Like
my 19-year-old daughter just got licensed.
Generation.
Right.
Within the so
in the
is
yeah,
that
in
I
the
mean,
empire.
Is that a long-term
yeah, she's on her
thing?
Second flip with her boyfriend. They're 19.
That's
I was rushing a sorority at 19.
Yeah.
I was,
and she's flipping homes.
Doing neither of those.
Yeah.
And nowhere close to either. I don't even know what was happening.
I was getting yelled at by a garbage man in Brooklyn.
When I was 19, I was saying who could hold their head in a cooler water longer. Like that was
right. I mean, that's
you
talent.
You also did that at Sophie's graduation party like 3 months ago.
I forgot I did do that.
Anywho.
Sophie Poppy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
They were dunking their heads into the cooler.
Oh,
and
boy.
Seeing, and you know the Simakaitis family. Like, they're
crazy.
Crazy and
crazy
competitive.
In a good way. Mm-hmm.
So they were all, like,
but
passing out to see who could go the longest. And I think you won.
You know I won.
Okay.
I don't lose something like that.
No.
Like, who can hold their head under water in a cooler longer? I'm going to win that competition. Every time.
It's merman.
Okay, so you have a 19-year-old that works with you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She does some graphic design stuff for us. She created our logo.
Okay. Love that.
But she's at Webster in her sophomore year.
Mm-hmm. And what about the rest of the girls?
So Haley's modeling.
Oh my.
Which
beautiful. Saw those pictures.
I mean,
like, beautiful.
She's just a stunning. And then Brooke is my rock star soccer player. She, yeah, she was ranked in top 11 in her age group in the country.
Oh.
So she's kind of a big deal.
Sweet. So you guys just, like, don't do anything mediocre.
Yeah, we do. I think my mom and dad instilled a work ethic that's, that all three of my sister and my brother and I have. And it's just, I sort of live by this word called Kaizen. Okay. And it's Japanese for continuous improvement. That's what that means. And so I learned that in my one of my business classes in college. And it's always stuck with me that if I'm not constantly improving faster, better, stronger, you know, then I'm not growing. I'm just sitting, taking up space. Yeah. So that's where, to your point about mediocre, I mean, that's just not...
It's not how you do it.
This is just not how we roll, right? That's gotta, like, go big or go home. So.
Well, and I think it's also identifying where your strengths lie and doing the things that are in alignment with who you are.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're not going to be like an awesome basketball player because you're 5'6". You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
So exactly. Understanding like where you can excel.
Sure. In your lane.
Like, okay, now I'm going to be the best of that.
Yeah. You just get in your lane and go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, love that.
Once you find that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
I think that's the hardest part, though.
Yeah.
That's what we're all struggling with is what's our lane?
Sure.
Are we in the right lane?
Or you know, do we want to just do everything along? Perfectly? That's that's tough. I would say it's like a mom, that's hard to be like...
Oh, sure. We juggle the world.
Yeah. Well, and dads, too. It's like, I want to be great at the things I've committed to, but then maybe you're in too many lanes at once.
Well, right. And that's, it's kind of the reasons one of, you know, we're going in so many directions. I mean, David handling Canada and, of course, the market center's here and then now being involved in the team. And then, you know.
Coaching, yeah.
Right? I mean, we just bought some investment properties. And so that's a, you know.
Yeah.
It all sounds good on paper till you actually really have to, like, do it all.
Live it.
Put it in your calendar.
And, like, you know, right. Like, just handle everything.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, it's,
Well, you do it with grace, and I think David does, too. I mean...
For sure.
We've got you fooled.
Mm. Well, I feel like
you don't see me go home and cry at night.
I can't take this anymore!
David's texting Gary Keller, and you're just over there...
That's right. Gary, help us. Help my wife. She's insane. Yeah.
Gary can't help you.
No. Gary can't help you. Mm-mm.
Well, nope. So obviously real estate. What kind of things are you passionate about outside of real estate?
Well, I'm glad you asked. One of the things that I'm very passionate about is, and our team is supporting it, is sex trafficking.
Okay.
Wait, supporting it? Or not supporting.
Not participating.
Okay. She's very passionate about sex trafficking. We're going to edit that.
Yeah. Right. 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 No, it's...
What are you very passionate about?
Right. Yeah, it's... you know, there are kids as young as 3, 4, and 5 years old being trafficked. And... this organization that we support is called the Covering House.
Okay.
And some of these little children are being trafficked like 15 to 20 times a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
In St. Louis.
Gross.
It is so awful. And so it's just, I've always wanted to... build a home that was a safe haven for women and children that are in situations like that.
Sure.
And eventually that's going to happen, but we're supporting this organization that does amazing work. in the community, and they're just changing people's lives, getting them out of this nightmare situation they're in. And St. Louis is a real mecca for it because of the way that all the highways meet. Mm-hmm. And but nobody thinks it's going, oh, no, that's like in L.A. or that's, sure, you know, New York.
Or
oh,
different no. countries. They yeah, all right. think it's in different countries.
No, it's all right here, right under our noses. Mm. And it's sad. So,
yeah.
I did not know that you were involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
That's I can't wait to talk to you more about that. Oh, like, yeah. That is...
It drives me. It just, it's, you know, I have three daughters, right? Yeah. So... Yeah. It's, I just can't imagine what these people are having to deal with. And
right.
it's like, I just feel so grateful for what I have.
For sure. Right.
That I want to help in any way I can.
What kind of things do you do to support it? Like, do you do events?
Well, or? Financially, yes. Financially, that's where they need the most support. So so we have two charities on our team that we support: Gateway Pet Guardians and the Covering House. So when we sell a house, instead of giving a closing gift, we ask the client who they would like us to make a donation in their name to.
That's great.
That's
so
awesome.
Instead of, you know, like our knives and our cutting boards and stuff mm-hmm. like that right. we were giving away, like, no, this is making bigger. A difference. Yeah. This
so
is bigger than us.
Do they, and maybe this is like too tactical, but
yeah.
do your clients know that you are in support with those organizations?
Yes.
Like from the onset of the relationship, like, hey, this is who we are as an organization.
Yeah. We do tell them that, because there's, when we're sitting in a listing appointment or at a buyer's agency, we're telling them, hey, you know, these are the two organizations we support. And if you're interested in that, when we're closing, we get closer, we'll talk to you about
What
that looks like for you, yeah. So nice. There's been events that we support, and
that's great.
On both Pet Guardians, and I just shot a video with Pet Guardians. They just opened a building over in East St. Louis.
Yeah.
What are Pet Guardians?
Gateway Pet Guardians.
Yeah.
So their mission is really to keep people with their pets.
Okay.
So a lot of times there's low income situations where they may not even be able to feed themselves, so then their pets don't get fed. So they can come to this organization, and they do all the veterinary care, food, you know, all
whatever
of that stuff, whatever they need.
That's mm-hmm. awesome.
So I'm hoping we can do Red Day there.
Okay. That would be awesome.
I've already talked to them about it, and they would be, like, out of their minds. I mean, they need people even just to walk the dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
So, and let's face it, our agents would be like all over that.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
I mean, there's painting and stuff like sure. that to do, but there's, so I'm trying to, Laura Wienus, if you're listening, I need you, sister. Cause
she doesn't listen, though.
Well, she does too.
I'm just kidding.
She listens.
Laura, I'm kidding.
So, right. So, yeah, she said the office has to pick, and I'm like, I'd really like this one to happen.
We're like well, part of the office.
Yeah. I mean, last year we cut down trees in the pouring down rain, so I think we can go walk some dogs.
For horses. So we can do it for dogs.
Well, and
that's
it's not
arguing.
Even for
that's
dogs.
It.
It's for the people.
Well, sure.
To be with their dogs.
That's really sweet.
Yeah. They have a really cool thing.
If you could, like, shifting gears, say, like, mm-hmm. something that trips you up or keeps you up at night, what would you say?
Hmm. Interesting.
I know that you're kind of a roll with the punches type person in general. So is there something that you're like, God, that just, that Bundren, I swear.
Boy, I oughta. You know what? No. And it's, I used to be like that.
Yeah.
In my 20s, 30s. I used to be like, over
what
things.
Changed for you?
I just got older and got smarter. Like, you know, and part of it is, not to take this in a negative light, but my brother passing away a year and a half ago mm-hmm. was, oh my God, it was life-changing. So I'm going to start to tear up. You know, his life was snuffed out, and He was, I told you guys this, he was, yep. You know that, he was, yeah, mm-hmm. crushed under a car. And so it just puts everything in perspective. Like, I was already had things in perspective because sure. When my dad passed away, yeah. I was like, that was in 2009. So that was a wake-up call. Like, hey, you know what? We're not curing cancer here. Right. We're just selling real estate. Like, don't it's not that so big seriously. Of a deal. Like, right. And so I think those two events is what changed me. Mm-hmm. And it's, life is so, so short. And yeah. David keeps reminding me, he's like, you know, you always say life is so short. Mm-hmm. And so
we need to get this cabin.
Right. And that's, we did it. We did it. And so, yeah, that's, I mean, really, I sleep really well at night. I think one, just cause like I give everything I got all day long. Mm-hmm. So then when it's time to go to bed, whammo, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm out.
One of the, and we've talked a little bit about this, but I think when you deal with, and I'm sure there's a ton of people that can probably relate, but I think when you deal with a loss of any significant magnitude, and for some people it's a dog, and for some people it's a sibling or a parent or sure. whatever, but I think when you deal with that and you realize that the hardest thing for me was everyone else's world kept spinning mm-hmm. and mine stopped.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I think when your world stops and everyone else's keeps spinning, you gain a really creepy amount of clarity about the world and other people.
Just how small you it's, are.
Yeah, in this thing. You are mm-hmm. so, you know, as a person, you know, you're so insignificant in the grand scheme of things. If you if you choose to just allow life to carry you through, mm-hmm. or you allow yourself to exist.
Yeah.
And when you have someone die very close to you, I think that's the moment where you get the option to really start living.
Amen.
And I know we talked a little bit about this, yeah. and obviously I'm sure we'll have the opportunity to do it more, but for me, mm-hmm. that was like it's a wake-up call. Like, it is absolutely a wake-up call when you get punched in the face and you're like, you want to die right now.
Right.
But you got to go to work.
Yeah.
Or someone right. has to take these kids to school.
Right.
Or yeah. you have
somebody
to go.
Somebody has to make dinner.
Right. You have to go you on. Have to do something mm-hmm. with yourself.
You can't just
you're like, oh, shit, this is tough. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it allows all of that little thing, the little things to fade away.
For sure.
And you to actually have some clarity around what you want in life. So
yeah.
I think it's super cool that you're willing to share that type
of
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. again, changing gears. Mm-hmm. You have the Kittner Group. You're involved in the Southwest office, probably mm-hmm. a million other things that we don't know about. the two organizations that you support. You say yes to a lot of things that you're passionate about. What type of stuff do you have to say no to?
Or what things are hard for you to say no to?
That's a good question.
Aren't you glad we didn't send you these questions before the interview?
Yeah. you know, I don't really, I guess I just don't think about the things that I say no to. I concentrate on what I'm saying yes to without thinking about what I'm saying no to. And I'm sure there are things that occur. I mean, first and foremost, those kids mm-hmm. and David and the family is the most, nothing comes in front of that. So, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys say no to? I don't, you know?
I have a problem saying no in general. I mean, yeah. like, I will spread myself thin. I've mm-hmm. learned over the last probably 3 or 4 years to get a little bit more purposeful about what I say no to. Mm-hmm. I think as your career elevates in certain areas, you don't have a choice but to say no to certain things. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're just going to do a really piss poor job in all of the areas. Very much like you were saying, whether it's Harry's scouts or mm-hmm. soccer or mm-hmm. an event or school or whatever, like that stuff is non-negotiable.
Right.
I remember when I first got into KW, there was a class with Rich Rector, mm-hmm. and he was talking about his schedule and his calendar, and he said, and I honestly don't remember anything about the class mm-hmm. except for the line where he said, "My kids are an appointment."
Yeah, you
mm-hmm.
told me that while I was studying.
Yeah, and I was like, "Oh, okay, like that's an appointment to me."
School is an appointment.
It's an yeah. appointment.
Oh
and
yeah,
so your haircut
and
is an appointment
that,
for sure.
That was my. That was like anxious for me to tell a client like, "Ooh, sorry, my kid has soccer. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even—he doesn't care what I'm doing.
No.
I have an appointment.
Right.
From 6 to 7:30, I have an appointment. I can either do it before, or I can do it after.
Right.
So, what would you choose? They don't—they mm-hmm. don't know if I'm showing. But you know, it was just like a vernacular change
sure.
to me.
Yeah.
That was like, oh shit! Now I don't have to explain myself.
Yeah.
I have an appointment.
I never thought I had to.
Right.
I mean, I never felt like I needed to. Like, it wasn't anyone's business.
Yeah.
What I was doing,
mm-hmm.
I can meet with you at 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you know, which
one,
right. Sure. But at 3 o'clock, I'm making sure that I'm at home when those girls walk in the door.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I love that.
Yep.
For sure.
Okay.
Still, even now.
3 o'clock.
You won't see me in the office.
I don't.
Very rarely.
Very rarely do I see you after the afternoon.
Even though they're 18 and almost 16, I just feel like that's just my job.
Yeah.
Like, and I can make phone calls and I can, you know, I
sure.
can get on my, like you guys work from home
yeah.
times. We can do that wherever. Mm-hmm. So why not
and they're gonna
be present?
That.
Yeah. They absolutely, sure. I never want them to look back and think, oh, my mom was never there. My mom was.
Yeah.
Always on her phone at a soccer game or, you know,
right.
I never want that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a legacy worth
yeah.
leaving.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's what it's all about.
Right. Is that I need people to say I was a good mother,
for sure.
not that I was a good realtor.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. and we heard something the other day. Oh, it was at the last bowl, not Monday, but a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
The guy said, people work with you because of what you do. They send you referrals because of who you are. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to hang on to that. Because it's like when you're working with them, if you demonstrate professionalism and mm-hmm. empathy and care about them and care mm-hmm. about their families, that's what they're going to remember when their friend or their family needs someone
sure. yeah.
to care about them and be professional and worry about their families and
it's
all
true.
Of that. So
I think it's also
important.
To that is how you make people feel
mm-hmm.
is so key.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
If you make them feel great.
If you're important to me, then
mm-hmm. they
was
will.
That Maya Angelou said that? Like, it doesn't matter how you, what, or people
what
don't
say.
Care what you say or what you do. They will remember how you make them feel.
Yeah.
Hmm. That was Maya?
That was her.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I'm going to say it was.
Yeah.
It's better than Michael Scott.
Or Michael Jackson.
Or Michael Jackson. Definitely yeah. better than Michael Jackson.
Well, what would you say you struggle mm-hmm. with?
I would say that just being everything I want to everyone that's important to me.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, we never want to, like, disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a doormat by any means. But if I wasn't able to fulfill something at the highest level, like, I'm always, right, pushing myself.
Right.
And so, I mean... It's so interesting because where I'm at in my career has allowed me to just sort of not be so psycho crazy about everything. You know what I mean?
Are you sure?
And I've shut up. I've earned that. I mean, I there was years I was doing, you know, 50 weeks a year every Sunday open house.
Good Lord.
I mean, I was balls to the wall
yeah,
in
I'd
real
say.
Estate. I didn't.
But you were building.
I was eating, breathing, sleeping with real estate. And so it paid off.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's funny because so many people are like, well, you know, like, how did you get to be so successful so fast? And I'm like, oh, no. You don't, there was nothing fast about it.
Yeah.
It's just hard work that most people don't, they don't want to put that in.
Well, they don't look at that because it's not
around,
sexy.
Or they're not around long enough to see it even happen.
Right. Right. Everybody wants, you know, what you have, but they don't want to do the work to get it.
Sure.
And so that's always, but that struggle, I think it's, for me, like every day, it's to find, I'm looking for great talent for the team. That's my biggest struggle not in life, but in real estate.
Okay.
You know, right? We're an average of the five people mm-hmm. we surround ourselves with. And so I'm looking for rock stars that like want to kill it.
Yeah.
That's hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to find.
Do you find that it's easier to bring someone on brand new and teach them your way or your team's systems? Or is it easier for you to have somebody that's already a real estate rock star and come in?
I'd say it's somebody new out of the industry. They're not hung up on splits and
yep.
and they don't have bad habits already set, you mm-hmm. know, like I'm not gonna door knock. I've never door knocked. I don't like door knocking, you know.
Sure.
But somebody new is like, door knocking? Okay.
What's that?
Where's
I'll do that.
Where's the business?
Right.
I'll find the business.
Let's go. Yeah. Show me what to do. I'll do it.
Yeah.
So to answer that question, it's
new
the newer person.
Okay.
But their learning curve is much bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, but see, I'm not looking for instant. It's not about the money, right?
Because yeah.
what I want is to have people on my team that are making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's a marathon, right? Not
mm-hmm.
a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
And most agents are looking for a sprint.
In your life, either mm-hmm. professionally or personally, mm-hmm. what would you say are some of your defining moments?
Oh, I hate that question, Adam. It's so hard because...
I thought you said you didn't know the questions. Wait a minute.
No, that question...
Hold on. That means
no, that question
you listen
in general
to the podcast.
Well, yeah.
That's what that means.
She has listened, for sure.
No, that question is just so hard because we talk about it in bold
mm-hmm.
for so many years. And I'm like, do I have a defining moment? I don't know. I don't... Ooh. Define what a defining moment is. What does
sure.
that mean to you?
So for me, if I think of a professional defining moment, mm-hmm. it is a moment that charted the direction for me professionally. So for me, it was, and I don't know if I've told it on the podcast or if mm-hmm. it's on my episode that it's going to stay unedited for the next
seven years. 15 years, yeah.
I had a dinner with mm-hmm. my brother in Kansas City
mm-hmm.
where I decided that I was going to change my life
mm-hmm.
And went home and signed up for real estate school the next day.
Okay.
So professionally,
okay.
I have a defining moment. Personally, I have multiple defining moments, whether it was, you know, dealing with my mom's illness and then mm-hmm. losing her, or mm-hmm. when we lost Matthew, or many of the things in between. There was speaking engagements that I was forced into that certainly shaped my mm-hmm. ability to do what I do and be who I am. So, personally, there's a few. I think you probably have more personally than you do professionally. At least in my,
for sure.
At least in my understanding of like, where I'm at right now, there was one thing that was like, punch in the face, mm-hmm. go do that. Personally, whew, we could go on for hours.
Well, I think for us ladies, it's becoming a mother. I mean, that's a massive moment. I mean, that when you're like, holy crap, like I'm responsible for this
and
little
I don't
thing.
Know how to do any of it,
like.
It has to stay alive, and I don't know what to do.
Right.
Got it.
And I don't get to sit at home and watch Days of Our Lives every day for the rest of my life. What's that? It's unfair.
I think the work one is probably making the decision to join Keller Williams. It was such a life-changing moment. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was with Prudential Select.
What was the moment that like made you
enjoy? You know what it was?
Or was it after you were already at Keller Williams?
No. It was going to Mega Camp mm-hmm. for the first time.
We've talked about that.
Going down there and being like, holy cow, why isn't, I mean, every agent should be with Keller Williams. Like, why would you be anywhere else?
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be a real idiot to be somewhere else.
And then you're like, wait a minute, I'm at Prudential.
I'm the idiot. I need to get the hell out of here. And so that's, it is, you know, not to put any other company down, but it just, getting exposed to what Keller Williams had to offer, not only did it change me professionally, but personally, it was huge. Mm-hmm. Going through Bold is when I knew I needed to get divorced. How about that?
Ugh, that's
for yuck. A defining moment. Yuck.
Yeah. In Bold.
In Bold. November of
2010. Is that your 24-hour plan?
Yeah. Oh, God. No, no. It was, you know, you had to talk about, or you had to write down your one-year goal, your three-year goal, your five-year, you know. And as I was, and I was 39 at the time, so I was going to turn 40 in a couple of weeks. And having to put those goals on paper, it didn't involve my husband. Like, I knew in that moment, like, I'd never had to do that before. Prudential doesn't have, or Berkshire, they don't have stuff like that.
Right.
And so it was just like forced, like, holy cow, like, we can't do this. Like, I can't go another 40 years. And so that was a huge, huge moment to know that that's what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say my life began at 40.
Yeah. Do you remember who the Bold coach was?
Yeah, it was Nikki.
Okay.
Nikki Buckaloo. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep. Okay. So it was their second Bold ever that they had. So
crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just curious, and this is for my own knowledge.
Sure.
When you were at Prudential, mm-hmm. what type of volume were you doing when you left?
I did 18 million as a single agent.
Your last year at Prudential.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, and I'm asking you to self-audit yourself here.
Yeah.
But were you as gracious when you were an agent at Prudential as you are at Keller?
So I think if you asked David to describe me, one of the first things he's going to say is generous. And not just with money, with my time, with my being. And so we didn't have an abundance mindset there. It was very much a toxic environment where it was like, don't look at my stuff.
My stuff is my stuff. Your like, stuff is your stuff.
Quick, I got to run over to the printer. I just printed that lead off. Somebody's going to take it. Like it was, but I didn't know that was wrong. I just thought that's real estate, and that's what crazy real estate is.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be like this. Until I got to Keller Williams and went, oh my God. I was in the most toxic environment ever. And that's why I think it sounds really kooky. And when I sit down with agents that, you know, that I'm talking to about joining, I'm like, you don't understand. Like, it really is, it really has changed my life. Like,
in a million
ways.
Right.
I've made more money than I've ever dreamed of. I have a happy family life, you know, like, where I can't wait to come home, you know. I just, like, I have nothing to be miserable about. Mm-hmm. Nothing. Zilch. Nothing to complain about.
Well, and, I mean, I asked.
How cool is that?
coming from amazing. Corporate America, uh-huh. and I know Which you did too,
grind.
But coming from there mm-hmm. and then having a pit stop for 4 seconds at another brokerage. Mm-hmm. And
well,
then,
I was there seven.
No, me. I'm talking
oh,
about
you,
me.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
So doing that and then mm-hmm. coming to Keller.
Yeah.
I told you this at dinner Saturday.
Yeah.
I honestly thought you all were full of shit.
Yeah. I thought that
like,
too
there
at first.
There is no way that these people...
They're all on
care.
Some kind of drugs.
Like, why? Mm-hmm. I think I remember having a meeting with you and Nations at
Starbucks
and going, why do you guys care? Mm-hmm. I've sold four, I don't know how many, it's four houses, whatever.
Yeah.
Why do you care? And they're like, mm-hmm. well, we just want to see you succeed. And I'm like,
No, you don't.
But,
what's
like, I don't think you know. Like, I have literally nothing to give.
I know. And, shut up.
So I told you this the other night, but I met someone that is potentially going to be on your team, and mm-hmm. I was kind of bragging on you, not knowing that she was going to be on your team, and I told her, I was like, when I came in, Kit was like, do you want my listing presentation? Do you want my pre-list presentation? Do you want my qualifying card? And I'm like, what? Like, the Angela Kittler that is in my head of who you were, just your aura, I was like, there's no way this lady's going to be nice to me. Like, I literally don't, and I hadn't even met you yet, mm-hmm. but I knew nothing. All I knew was in real estate, people are cutthroat, and you don't touch my leads, and it's my commission, mm-hmm. and I will cut you.
Right.
And so then, like,
you.
Knowing that you were the top agent in the office, I'm like, oh, man, she will cut me. And then you're
well,
like...
She still might.
Well she,
might,
yeah, she
might, might bite you.
You might bite. That's my... I'm a biter.
She'd have Linda cut you. It's fine.
Yeah.
Lois,
Linda,
go cut him.
Lois.
Linda would
take
never
care of, take
cut
care of
me.
Him.
Mm,
no.
Ever.
No, that's
Maybe
her.
You, but not me.
Well, probably me.
So... Thank you for mm-hmm. being as giving as oh. you are to the office, not just to knuckleheads like me, but to people.
Everybody,
in those,
right? We
yes.
all, when we, one of us does well, we all do well.
Sure.
And that's why it's so cool.
Yeah.
Like,
when you operate from the high tides rise all ships mm-hmm, mentality,
sure.
it is a fun place to be.
Oh my God.
It is such a fun place to be.
So
I can't
fun.
Imagine being where we are and going to another agency. I just can't imagine.
It would be going backwards.
How it would even.
It doesn't even, yeah.
You know what
it's
frightens
so
me?
Sad.
Is all the people that are in that situation that don't even know how bad it is, but they love their broker. Like,
or friends with their broker.
It's
friends with my broker.
Unbelievable.
Me too.
I was friends with my broker.
Same.
But, you know, are you going to be more loyal to your family or your broker? And
or
most
do you
want to
be somewhere where you can grow as a human being and have longevity for the rest of your
but
life.
But they don't know that.
Right.
And they won't, they're not even open to listening.
Sure.
I don't want to be recruited. I'm not trying to be recruited. Are you trying to recruit me? Don't recruit me. I hear it. You know, we hear it all the time.
Right. How do you know we'd even want you?
Oh, I loved that. It's my favorite. It
I
is,
know. It's
it
so ridiculous.
I love it.
So ridiculous.
Do you guys talk about that often or is it just...
Yeah, no. I mean, it's...
I mean, that's a powerful statement, right?
Right. Right.
And it's in our bold scripts of like, well, we don't even know if you're going to be a fit for us.
Yeah. I mean, who says that? Like, you know, it just was mind numbing.
I love it.
To have him say that to me. So.
Are you a reader?
You know, I'm trying to be. I have the attention span of a gnat.
True.
So.
You're doing good at
but
the podcast.
Yeah, you've done great so far.
But smart people read.
True.
It is so true. Smart people read. And, you know, for years my reading consisted of People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And, but right now I'm reading the One Thing again, and I'm reading a book that Maria Shriver wrote.
Okay.
Well, it's right now, well, I just, it's the one, meaning it's like Meaningful Prayers and something I can't remember offhand.
Okay.
I see it on my nightstand, but I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and she's got a really cool perspective. And so, why did you ask that?
Well, I'm just curious what you're reading now.
Oh, yeah.
I know that we were in Kansas City on Wednesday.
Last week?
Whenever mm-hmm. it was. And we all got Radical Candor. Have you read that?
Mm-hmm. I have
David
not.
Told us about that.
Well, he gave me a copy of it on Wednesday.
Okay.
So I'm going to start it. I currently have mm-hmm. Grit in my office right now. Russ recommended that. So I bought that. And I'm going to finish reading that, and then I'll read Radical Candor.
I may have to get that on Audible.
I think I need all of it, like Audible, a book, like a sign person. Right.
Jim like reads as he listens. He's that's the only way it gets through to me.
I think really? I'm just like, wow, the retention like level is super slow for me. I just can't
listen
it.
While I put on my makeup in the morning and stuff like that.
I had to listen to The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck four times. Thankfully, I would go to Valparaiso, Indiana every month, and I would listen to it. I felt like every time, right? Like, I felt like every time on my way up, I'm like, well, I'm going to listen to The Subtle Art again. Mm-hmm. I just have a problem with retention of
me too.
Books.
Always have.
And then
always
David gets me a book, and I'm like, I guess I got to learn to read.
That's hilarious.
Go ahead. What? I was just going to say, so you're reading a few books. Mm-hmm. Do you listen to podcasts or do you listen to music?
I'm listening to Gary's.
Okay.
It's a good one.
Think like a CEO. CEO. Mm-hmm. So we have, we get to listen to it through Bold, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of it?
What do you think of it? Season 2 just came out.
Yeah. You know, he's just so real, and it's just, you don't think of him as a billionaire. Like when you hear him talking, he's just so real and down to earth and normal. And I love that. Like there's no airs being put on. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's just like, hey, this is how you do it. You don't want to do it?
You don't have to do it.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to make it. Like, I love that kind of approach. And he's just a cool guy.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
What kind of music would you listen to get pumped up for like a workout or an appointment or whatever you need to get pumped up for?
Probably Beyonce.
Okay.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I love that.
Yeah. I mean, if I want to get pumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, you're in the right house. You're in the right house. This is a home where Queen Bee lives.
Oh, well, perfect. But really, like, what I like listening to is country.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
I know, I sound like a big Hoosier.
I don't think so.
Okay, because, you know.
I like country too.
Who's your favorite country artist? Tim McGraw.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
like old school?
Yes, like Don't Take the Girl. Yes.
Oh, that's one of his first ones.
Yeah.
Yes. That might have been his
first hit. First hit.
Yeah. I like Florida Georgia Line. I like Carrie Underwood. You know,
Tim McGraw actually is starting to sponsor this podcast. I don't know if you knew that. We've been working on it for a while.
Oh,
and Lion's Choice. Did you know?
Oh my God. Shut up.
You didn't know?
That is insane.
Insane. Top three movies. You know our questions.
You know our questions, Kit. What are your top three movies of all time?
Okay. So one of my favorite actors is Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
So I like As Good As It Gets, The Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
And The Notebook.
Oh, those are good.
Did you have those at the ready?
No.
Wow.
I just love that. Who doesn't love Ryan Gosling?
Right.
Oh my God.
He's too much.
Too much.
Okay.
Too
ridiculous. Easy.
Too much.
Hold on.
Do you watch those with your girls? Like, is there anything that you guys have watched forever?
For the longest time, we all watched American Idol
together.
But we don't watch that. And we haven't watched that in years. Oh, like when they're little people. we don't. They love The Office. They just watch it constantly.
Yeah.
I mean.
You don't think it's funny?
Oh, no. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Jess was almost going to come across the table.
What? No, but I mean, they will watch. I mean, they can repeat every line, can you do that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would say for like seasons one through five or six. But not like the later ones when it was like Will Ferrell.
Oh, okay.
That's a little hard for me to do.
Yeah.
You know it all, so.
I don't.
Okay. I am a fan of, and David will be embarrassed that I say this, but I do like me some 90 Day Fiancé.
What is
that? I have no idea what that means.
What is that?
Okay, then I'm not telling you. You guys don't know what it is.
You've got to explain it now.
You don't know what it is, then no.
What channel? Is it on, like, PAX? Or, like...
PAX? What the hell's that?
David's going to be so embarrassed.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, turn this shit off. And I'm like, no, just... It's amazing. You got to listen. And he's like,
texting
this is
Gary Keller.
This is absolute
kids watching 90 Day Fiancé again, Gary.
It is so dumb. That's why it's funny. No, it's on, channel 55. What's that? TLC. Yeah. TLC. Yeah.
Okay.
It's ridiculous.
This is important enough to go back on a topic and ask the question. Have either of you ever seen the video of Ryan Gosling not eating his cereal?
No.
I don't know. Okay. I've heard of it, but I don't think
it's
I've ever seen
it. It's fairly insignificant, but I think it's important enough to...
Is he a little person?
Then? Nope. So Ryan Gosling...
like a child.
He says a kid.
Nope.
Oh.
So there is a guy who made a video about Ryan Gosling not eating his cereal. And it was literally just a bowl of cereal on a YouTube video. And multiple movies that Ryan Gosling had been in. And he lifts up the spoonful of cereal to the TV. And Ryan Gosling reacts. In the movie, whatever the movie is. So like some movies he's like, and he covers his mouth. And then some movies he turns away. But it's the reason it's a big deal is because the guy that made the video ended up, he had a YouTube channel because he was sick and he was documenting his battle with cancer. Oh. And when he lost his battle, Ryan Gosling made a video of himself eating a bowl of cereal.
Oh,
so
sweet.
Again, not important, but super funny if you're interested in Ryan Gosling ignoring a bite of cereal in all of his movies.
I think he's so funny.
Whatever. Is that what you think? I think
I
you
do.
Think a little
think
more
he's
than that.
Very so dry. I think he's really funny.
Yeah, and him and his wife, they don't seem like a good match to me.
Is that,
who's this?
Yeah. They just don't seem to go together.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking about now.
You know.
Just from Hitch, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hitch?
Hitch.
That's where you identify Ava
Mendez
from?
What else is she from?
She's a model.
A lot of things other than Hitch.
I don't
I can name none of them.
Yeah, okay.
None of us know.
I can name a lot, except for zero.
Except for zero of them. She's in stuff.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good one.
Whatever.
What
hilarious.
Are your pet peeves when traveling? I assume you travel.
Yes. Anytime the plane makes any kind of a false movement at all. I mean, any
if it's not on a string,
tiny
you
bit
know
of
exactly
turbulence.
Where
That's
you're
a
sitting.
Pet peeve of yours? You don't like it? It bothers you?
It bothers me. But what really
and everyone
bothers
else on
me
the plane also
is true. Screaming kids on a plane. I just don't have screaming kids in a restaurant. Screaming kids anywhere, pretty much.
So
how was the first hour of your visit tonight?
That's not screaming. You don't want to try crying. Like, you like that. That's just having fun.
Yeah.
But, like, the crying that makes me literally want to jump out of my skin. And you wouldn't know that I have children. Because I think like that. So.
What's your dynamic at home? Is it crazy? Is it loud?
You have to ask Sarah Tadlock that.
Okay.
It's funny.
I would love to have her on this show.
She's funny. So she's over one night, and the kids were just normal coming and going. But it was blowing her mind. Because we're sitting in our living room. You know mm-hmm. our living room.
Yeah.
And so the kids are upstairs and they're kind of walking back across. And some of their friends were coming in. And, you know, people were in the kitchen. And she's like, seriously, I'm not kidding. She was like, what is happening here?
Which you do a really good Sarah Tadlock impression because that was accurate.
So David and I are like, what do you mean?
This is Tuesday.
Nothing crazy happening here. And she's just like, I mean, it makes me laugh just thinking about her because she just
could not
comprehend. Us it's normal and to anyone, I guess somebody from the outside world thinks it's insane, but it really is. It's not insane. I think David and I we very much parent the same. We have the same level of patience, mostly with things. And I would say we just run a really tight ship. And so it's the dynamic at home is we call ourselves the squad. So like the squad's together. So it's three girls and then my oldest boyfriend, because he's like family now, and Dylan, and we're just all like squads together.
Yeah.
And we just have fun and act silly and sing and dance and.
That's great.
David hates when I sing.
Why does he hate
so
it?
So I sing even louder
right.
and more. He just doesn't think I'm good.
Oh.
Are you good?
You have no, to practice to get better.
But in my
so you have
mind,
to sing very loud and all the
you're
time.
You're fantastic.
I'm Faith Hill.
You're Beyonce.
Tim and I are singing together.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good Lord.
I love that.
So, yeah. So our dynamic is just fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who's one person that you know that we should know? In the context, at least,
yeah,
has been
should it be
for
business?
The purpose of the show. Who would be good to have on the show other than Sarah Tadlock? Can't use that. No take backs.
We already had Shannon.
And he's
funniest
as yes,
hell.
He was great. I can't wait to edit his episode in 2022. It's coming. Good Lord, this editing.
Maybe you need to hire that out to a VA.
We just talked about it today, actually.
Mm-hmm. We're a red light, green light company.
Good.
We are in a hard red light right now.
We're going to make some money. This table set us back a little bit.
You know who I think would be funny on here? And he's one of the funniest people I know, is Dan Snodgrass.
Oh, my God. I've never thought about that for some reason, and Dan Snodgrass would be amazing on the show.
Nobody.
But we need him at 4 o'clock to come over so we can get him all lubed up for the show.
Yeah, he's
funny.
God.
I adore him. I don't think he even knows it.
He knows it. How does he not know he's everyone's favorite person?
I tell him that. He's just like Mary Beth doesn't know how good she's got it.
He's an amazing person.
He just is fantastic. Yeah, so I think that would be somebody we should put on.
But wait, we know him.
Oh,
so
somebody don't know.
That we don't know. Although,
do you think Dan listens?
You know what? I would say no, but Snotty would be one of those guys. It's like, yeah, I don't miss an episode. I get a notification every time that your episode comes
but
out.
But Riri listens and Riri loves this. She's real excited that you're going to be on this tonight.
Yeah, I was talking to Riri today.
Me too.
I think, so I have a really good friend of mine named Tracy Polanski.
Okay.
And she does PR.
Okay.
She's an independent. And mm-hmm. so she's got a lot of big clients, and she's funny as shit too.
We like that here.
Yeah, I mean, real sarcastic.
I don't like that very much.
Yeah, she's real sarcastic, and it's hilarious. Like, Dan's dry and funny,
mm-hmm.
but she's just kind of lunatic funny. And so okay. She'd be a good one to talk to because she's been in you know who her brother is Mike Luntz.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. I just went under contract with Mike Luntz today.
Oh, very good. You know, he's no longer with KW.
He's at CORE.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I just went under contract with him today.
Oh, very good. Interesting. So you should you should call her.
Okay.
She'd be a good one.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
What did you think we were going to ask you that we didn't ask you?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thanks. Let's see. I thought maybe you would ask more things like about high school and...
Do you want to talk about high school?
Where did you go to high school?
Narinx.
Okay.
Hall.
All right. You say that with reservation.
Yeah. I went to Notre Dame, so yeah.
Oh,
I've heard of
course you did.
I went to
You'd
CBC.
Be surprised how many people in St. Louis will say, oh, I never heard of that.
Really?
And I'll go... Okay. It's like an all-girls school in Webster.
It's right? like one of the five schools that you hear about.
It's not in Bourbon. I mean, you know.
Shout out to Bourbon.
Yeah. That's right.
Part-time resident.
That's right. No, you'd be... That's why I... You never know. People say that to me. I'm like, okay, I don't know what rock you're living under, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, No, it's just, I just thought you might touch on those kinds of things. Perhaps, maybe.
What?
Sounds like you got some skeletons in the closet from your Narex days, kid.
No, not really. I wouldn't go back to high school, but I'd go back to college.
College was probably fun. Probably the same.
I would start at 20. Like professionally, I'd be like, okay, mm-hmm. 20 years old. Go.
Yeah.
Instead of 32.
Yeah. Yeah. No. High school wasn't fun for me. Like, we lived in a bubble. Don't you think so? When you go to an all-girls school, you're sort of in this little bubble, and everybody's like you, and there's no diversity, and
that's true.
But then when you go to college, it's like the floodgates open and all hell breaks loose.
For sure.
And you just become
Where did you go
idiot.
To college?
Truman.
Okay.
Yeah, those days I would go back to. So fun. So
did
fun.
You go for anything specific? Like
don't
sports
you have
or
to?
No, you know what I'm saying?
For
like,
fun. For fun.
Like did you go like no, you don't have to. I mean, how many people do we know that were like, I'm a psychology major or like communications? Like, did you go for something?
Yeah, business. Just okay. Straight business. And then did my MBA at Webster. Yeah, like look that. At that,
is
that flow.
That hair going
amazing.
Well. It's getting all cut off tomorrow.
I'm getting a haircut too.
Oh, Lord. Don't ever post that anywhere.
Well, don't
That's funny.
And then you went to work at Campbell's?
Pepperidge Farm?
No, I worked right out of college. I was recruited on campus from Walmart. So went into that and then sold coffee.
For who?
And I don't even drink coffee.
What do you drink? How do you do this? That's what I want to know. Like, what is
I
your...
I know so many people that don't drink coffee now. I'm like,
but I know,
you?
Like,
here's
I get
my
it.
Problem.
Is it passion?
I'll
is
share
it
what happened
cocaine?
To me. So like, I was yes. So I was addicted. Highly, highly addicted to Diet Coke. From the age of probably 16 till I was about 43.
Wow.
And this was the kind of thing where I probably consumed every day at least a 12-pack.
What?
Yes. And what I would do is I would drive through... Because I was always like, you know, I was
driving,
calling on customers and stuff. So sodas were a dollar at McDonald's. And so every
and
time.
And McDonald's soda is the
They
bomb.
Calibrate three times a day. I mean, that mix.
that I mix, thought I was the only person that
no,
knew that.
It's the best. It's the best.
Yeah.
And so every time it would get just a little bit watery, I'd go get a fresh one. I had a Diet Coke in my hand at all times. By the bedside, drinking it, I could go to bed with it because I drank so much of it.
Yeah, it was like part of your bloodstream.
Yes, and I felt so controlled by it. I was like, nothing controls me except this. How am I gonna, I gotta do this. So it was... Jamie Mierhoff, I remember she saying, girl, you got to stop this. So I just went cold turkey. And so it's been 6 years with no caffeine.
Whoa. No caffeine?
None. Zilch.
Wow. Crazy.
So and everybody already thinks I'm like, yeah. I have all this energy. And David always calls me the Energizer Buddy. He's like, mm-hmm. You never stop. Mm-hmm. You just keep going. Like, what is
so
it?
What is it? What's the drive? Is it just your DNA? It's just what
yeah.
you have?
I just love life. I was having this conversation with my girls. I was saying that Haley was still my middle one, was telling me. She's like, Mom, I know what I want for Christmas. I'm like, oh, what's that? And she's like, I want to go skydiving.
Yes.
And I go, ah. Oh. Babe, I never want to go skydiving. And she goes, why not? I go, because I want to live. And she goes, well, no, like you're attached to somebody and there's extra parachutes and all that stuff. And I yeah. said, yeah, but like there's always that chance. So why would I do something that I know
I could die. Gives you a like chance. I'm putting myself in the position to die when I don't ever want to die.
Kit, listen.
Ever.
Statistically.
I know. I have probably driving
in your
over
car.
Here,
yes.
I'd get killed. You know.
You should go skydiving.
Faster. I don't. I just don't.
I think.
Oh, can I please watch the video when you get it recorded?
Yes. Like that.
Like, ah! Oh, yeah. That'd be amazing. No,
with the little clear goggles
she
on.
She gets strapped to Lois.
Oh.
God. And Linda.
Oh, shit. The three.
That would be a disaster. Oh, my God. They'd all be screaming. Everybody'd be screaming. Yeah, so that's. So I just love life. Like. I'm telling you, my life started at 40. So that's why I'm so giddy. Like, my girls ask me all the time, they're like, Mom, you always have a smile on your face. Why are you so happy? Aww. I'm always like, because I have you, you know. But I'm just, life is good.
Yeah.
That's like, awesome. Really, really good. So.
And you've earned chance. Every drop of it.
Right.
I feel like I've worked hard, but, you know, that's part of the fun too, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is achieving the success and keep going, and what more can I do?
I got to tell you, after today, I was hoping that Who Framed Roger Rabbit was going to be on your favorite movie list.
Oh, that was hilarious!
I thought it was spurred something for you.
That was
you.
So
I love
good,
that
you
movie
did
so
that.
Much.
We have to watch that.
I love it.
You guys are funny.
Okay, that's all I have.
Yeah. You're so
boring.
Good.
You're
so
the best.
Efficient.
She's boring.
No, you are great.
No, you're not boring at all. We're done.
Okay.
That's
we
it.
Appreciate you.
So say goodbye.
I'm not saying goodbye. We're going to stay up all night.
You, oh Lord.
David already went to bed. He already texted me. He's like, before I even got here, he's like, I'm tired. Got to go to bed. I'm like, you're not even going to wait up for me to tell you how my podcast was?
Oh.
Nope.
He's like, I know
we'll
how
send him the
go.
Picture. Yeah. Yeah. He knows. He's like, those two idiots are just going to drink wine.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for having
wrong.
Me. It's fun. It's
yeah,
super
this
fun.
Is great.
We love you,
kid. Appreciate it. Thank mm-hmm. you. Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you listen on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.